Krishnavarnam tasya krishnam samvabhangasta parsanam yogya samkitanam nideya yanti shumedasaha. Lord Krishna appeared as Akrishna. He appeared in a non-blackish form, in the golden form, in the Hema Savira, in the golden body, or the Gaura Avatar, the golden incarnation. Although, to refer to the Supreme Lord as an avatar, or as an incarnation, he is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govindam Adipurusham, that Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is always absorbed in his eternal pleasure pastimes. It says in the form of Lord Narayan, the Lord is interacting with the material energy. There are so many Purusha avatars of the Lord, Karandaksai Vishnu, Mahavishnu, then Garbhadaksai Vishnu, Ksiradaksai Vishnu. So in all these the various expansions, the Lord is interacting with the material energy. But Krishna is always absorbed in his eternal transcendental pastimes. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears, he appears along with the entire spiritual world, with the activities of the spiritual world. That is the nature of the Supreme Lord. But he comes also for a particular purpose, several purposes. He comes for tasting the mood of Srimati Radharani. That love that she experiences, he's trying to taste that. He's trying to understand it, because he cannot. At the same time, the devotees of Krishna are always exploring the qualities of Krishna. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, this time, tries to explore the qualities of Krishna. And he also wants to experience that mood of submission, of being the servant rather than being the master. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has his own internal purposes. But simultaneously, the Lord is also very excited about inaugurating the Sankirtan movement. Lord Chaitanya said, for so long, or prior to appearing as Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna said, for so long, I have not distributed love of God to all the living entities within the material world. So if my name is Vishvambar, the one who maintains the entire universe, then how can one speak of maintaining when we are not giving love of God? Only then can we say that we are maintaining. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya decided to inundate the entire three worlds with Krishna prema. So Lord Chaitanya's appearance is everything about the Lord is auspicious. Srila Prabhupada says that of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, especially his pastimes as a preacher in the Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, are the most important. Those are the principal pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because yes, those are the obviously the pastimes that touch us the most. We are always objects of the mercy of the Lord. Without the mercy of the Lord, we cannot understand anything. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his intimate pastimes. He also revealed to us his activities of ecstasy and Krishna praying. But how could we understand them unless it was his causeless mercy? Because we have no qualifications at all for such type of things. The district Nadia is the most fortunate district. That there Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared at a time when Nadia was invaded under foreign rule, and at that time, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in a Brahmin family. His parents, they came from Bangladesh, from East Bengal, and they were not extraordinarily wealthy. They're not in total poverty, but they lived a simple life. But somehow or other, Jagannath Mishra was a Brahmana, and as such he was not concerned with anything else but preaching scriptures. Yajan, yajan, patan, patan, dana, patikraha. And he was basically living from charity. So, that he received in exchange for some teaching and so on. So, most Brahmanas were not so rich. Some were wealthy. Advaita Acharya was quite wealthy. So, Sri Chaitanya, Jagannath Mishra, however, experienced that at one point the Lord entered into his heart. And at that time, the Lord entered into his heart, and from his heart into the heart of Sachidevi. And then Sachidevi was conceiving. So the conception of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described to take place through the process of Diksha, just like Krishna, to the process from the heart of Vasudev to the heart of Devaki, from the heart of Jagannath Mishra to the heart of Satyamata. Anyway, when Satyamata was pregnant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, she became extraordinarily effulgent. No one had seen anything as extraordinary as that. And within the universe, the demigods, they understood very well. They understood what was going on, although human beings were mostly ignorant of the situation. The demigods, they very well knew that the Supreme Lord was now about to appear in the world, and therefore they came to visit in Sachidevi was seeing celestial beings and thinking that this is some form of illusion, who are offering prayers to the womb. But actually, this was not at all illusion. It was going on. Then time passed, it said that by Indian calculation, they say in the 10th month the child receives, because in the West they always count after the month is completed. In India they count at the beginning of the month, just like, like years also. Like the year, we say that when you have completed 50 years, then you are 50 years old. In India they say the year, the first day of your 50th year, you're 50 years old. So therefore, it says generally, children appear in the 10th month in the purports of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So not that in India they appear 1 month later. No. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the 13th month. He still did not appear in after 13 months. And there was no cesarean nor anything like that in those days. So it was a cause of crazy anxiety. The whole family is just thinking something is really wrong. Doesn't look good, you know. People would die in childbirth. So there was anxiety. But the grandfather, Nilambar Chakravarti, Nilambar Chakravarti was a great astrologer. So he was the maternal grandfather, the mother of Satchimata. And Nilambar Chakravarti, he did an astrological calculation. He calculated that that the Lord would appear at the time of the full moon when there would be an eclipse of the full moon. It said because at the time of an eclipse, a pious person or a religious person would go to the Ganges or Yamuna or to the ocean and would stand in the water during the whole time of the eclipse. Not an easy feat at all. I tried this once, and it was extremely difficult. You know, so I was going to do it because I read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then I asked, so, well, how long is the eclipse actually lasting? They said it's 5 muhurtas that are contaminated. So, okay, that's 240 minutes. Yeah. All right, I was 240 minutes in the Yamuna. But, you know, due to the cold water, somewhere in the middle of it, I really had the urge to use the bathroom. And I sort of feel like I don't really want to do it in the Yamuna. It's like that. It's not as romantic as it is in the books. I mean, I was freezing. Even in the warm weather, you cool down quite a bit in 3 hours. So it was very intense, 4 hours. So it was, I still can't figure out how these people did it. But 500 years ago, that was no problem. Everyone did it. And would just stand for hours in the water and just chant the name of the Lord. But not only were they chanting, somehow or other, they were feeling very jubilant. Instead of just chanting to counteracting the inauspiciousness. In Vrindavan, I experienced many times an eclipse in the full sense, and you can see that the entire atmosphere becomes surcharged by tamas, and there is some agitation, and you see like lower nature, people coming out, and there's some agitation in the atmosphere. But not at this time, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Everything was very auspicious, everything became very jubilant, and everyone felt jubilant. The entire atmosphere became surcharged with a great feeling of happiness. So this is very nice. Lord Chaitanya appeared and the whole atmosphere, the three worlds became joyful and chanted the holy name. Several personalities, of course, knew about the appearance of the Lord. The demigods, they knew. Advaita Acharya knew. Haridas Thakur knew. Srivas Thakur knew it. And other devotees of the Lord, they knew it at that time. They all celebrated and became very, very ecstatic. It is said that later, though, they forgot the identity of the Lord. And but it is said that the demigods, they were aware. And therefore, after the birth of the child, various ladies came, the Brahmin ladies came with gifts for the mother and the child. And at that time, mixing in with the crowd, also the wives of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they just walked in the form of in a human form, but they also came with gifts, etc. So that was all happening. Of course, Sita Thakurani, the wife of Advaita Acharya, who was aristocratic and wealthy, they were wealthy. She gave many gifts, including the tooth of a tiger set in gold, a chain. So, in this way, Lord Chaitanya was being worshipped. Lord Chaitanya, Sima Chaitanya, he who is like a lion, Lord Chaitanya, is very powerful. And it says that just like a lion, he drove away all the elephant-like sinful activities from the heart. So that's a nice metaphor. The elephant-like sinful activities are very strong and huge, enormous. And it's like we are powerless. What can we do? Too strong, and nothing we can do. But Lord Chaitanya just drove away these elephant-like sinful activities from the heart. Lord Chaitanya inundated the entire universe, flooded the entire universe. Srila Prabhupada, in his purports, explains what that flooding of the entire universe meant. It meant that he inaugurated it, he started it, because Srila Prabhupada says that, well, but he only did kirtan in Navadvip. Yes, but from Navadvip, it just starts to flood everywhere. It starts to expand in all directions and will flood the entire universe, it says. Planet Earth is the blessed planet. The demigods are lining up to appear on this earth because here the Lord appeared. But it will, from here, also reach all the other planets. All planets in the universe will be flooded by this Sankirtan movement. I have thought about this. Sometimes I was thinking that people have testified to extraterrestrial in presence. UFOs and all these things have been spotted in so many testimonies, either of these. Yes. I have no doubt that some of the UFOs have picked up about Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. And therefore, I have no doubt that some of the latest Sankirtan vehicles in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission are the UFOs carrying these extraterrestrials. Lord Chaitanya's movement is invisibly penetrating the entire universe, way beyond what we can imagine, way beyond what is visible to us, because our vision is very limited. But Lord Chaitanya is in so many ways penetrating. When Srila Prabhupada speaks about in one lecture where he says that he's using the microphone not because he needs a microphone.
He points out that he has a loud voice and that he can do without the microphone.
But that he uses the microphone to purify the microphone maker.
I know.
Hey, think of that, you know.
Hare Krishna.
If you purify the microphone maker, then we purify so many things that we are using are all... if that principle applies, imagine someone works in a microphone factory and just put this one in a box. And somehow or other, the mercy is there because it is offered to the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And suddenly that person begins to make advancement. All the utensils, everything, all the material, all the building materials of the temple. Even when the, I was thinking, when the children in the of the devotees are riding on their tricycles, they are delivering the three worlds. So in this way, we just see how Lord Chaitanya's movement is in an invisible way touching the whole universe. And it is all going from one person to another. It is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the appearance of the Lord is in different ways. He appears in his personal form, Nimai of Nadia, Nadir Nimya, Nimai. And Nimai of Nadia, yes, he was first hiding his identity. First, he was not known as the Supreme Lord, although he was always extraordinary. Astrologically, the child had the lagna, or the rising sign of Leo, of Simha, of lion. So, is lion-like, very powerful. As a child, he was wild. He was very wild. He would fight with other children. He would wrestle. And of course, the Chaitanya Bhagavat describes he was very demanding. First of all, his father was getting worried that his son might, if he studied the scriptures too much, might follow the example of his elder brother who had left home to take sannyas. Therefore, one day his father decided that you don't need to study anymore. From this day on, you can just do what you want. You don't need to go to school. A child's dream, right? But he was not happy. So what he did is, in those days, in Bengal, they were using fresh clay pots for cooking. There was no such thing as pot washing, because each time they were using a new pot for cooking. Clay pot, and then throw it away after cooking. So there was a place somewhere, a pit at the back of the house where all these pots were thrown. And then, after his father had said that Nimai did not have to study anymore, one day Nimai went to sit there in the middle of those pots. And they all said, but this is a contaminated place. How can you sit here? This is impure. These pots are all dirty and, you know, like fermenting. That's not a place to sit. He said, how can I know? I'm uneducated. So then, you know, like all the neighbors were also watching, and then all the neighbors said to Jagannath Misri, said, why are you keeping your son from learning? You're very fortunate. You have a son, he wants to learn. Yeah? Most cases it's the other way around. So if you have a son who wants to learn, you're fortunate, and you want to stop him from learning. Why are you stopping him? So then Jagannath Misra was forced to let his son study again. So then he said, all right, you can study. So he was studying, and of course, as the son of a Brahmana, he went to a Sanskrit tall to learn Sanskrit. And it is said that daily, then after studies he would go take his bath in the Ganga and then go home. So when he went to the Ganga, there he was performing all kinds of mischiefs, says the Chaitanya Bhagavat, because Brahmanas were very proud in Navadvip. They were studying Nava-Nyaya, which Navadvip was particularly very expert in that philosophy. And they were proud. They were smarter Brahmanas, proud of their Brahminical birth. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Nimai Pandit, while the Brahmanas were standing in the Ganga, chanting their Gayatri, would swim underwater and would pull their legs so they'd fall over in the Ganga. So the Brahmanas were very upset. But that was not all he did. Sometimes he would sit on the bank of the Ganga and wait for the Brahmanas to come out of the water after taking their bath in the sacred Ganga and being like totally absorbed in their Brahminical status and clean and so on. And then as they came out of the Ganga, he would suddenly spit Ganga water on them, which he kept in his mouth. Like, can you imagine, you know, like, you're a Brahmana and someone spits on you. the ultimate. But of course, like, they could not see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His causeless mercy is spitting on us, that they could not see. So in this way, the Lord had His fun, and He was playing His games, and He's enjoying. But at one day, His father suddenly became ill and expired. So then He was alone with His mother, and it became difficult for the mother to manage to get by. And one day, her son, just after some time had passed, one day her son said he wanted to worship the Ganga. Don't look with one eye. It's inauspicious. One day the son said he wanted to worship the Ganga. And then Mother Sati said, yes. Yes, just wait a moment and I'll gather the paraphernalia. He said, no, no, I want it now, I want it now. And he had like a fit of anger, which was bizarre. He went totally wild. He just grabbed a stick and he just went around the house and started to smash everything. I mean, she had many things in bags hanging, so that, you know, like animals and so on would not so easily get to these bags. That was the system, and pots, many things kept in clay pots. And he just smashed everything. He just smashed the clay pots. He just pulled down the bags, threw them on the ground. Then, after there was nothing to break, he started smashing the house. And finally, when he had beaten everything with a stick, he threw his stick away, fell on the ground, and start beating the ground with his fists. Mother Sachi never said anything. She never said a word. She simply, somehow or other, managed to cook another lunch. Then after she served it out, she said, my dear Nimai, I don't know why you did all these things. You must have a reason, but this will be the last meal that I serve because I have no more supplies. Then Nimai just manifested a tola of gold. A tola is a thumb. And so a tola of gold is quite worth quite some money. So just a, in his hand, just some gold. So Mother Sachi couldn't figure it out. How does my son, where does he get this gold? How does he do this? But anyway, and he's like, sometimes he's doing this when we have no money. Then he just manifests some gold. So Nimai So Nimai's strange behavior from time to time continued. Nimai at one point seemed to have fits, not fits of anger, but maybe he was fainting. He was fainting, falling on the ground. Didn't quite know how to deal with this. Murari Gupta, he was a physician. She called Murari. And Murari said that, he's very fortunate. I want that disease also. I want that disease also. This disease of love of God. But they treated him for like epileptic fits or fits of like madness. He was like acting mentally confused. Very concerned. So at one point, they dipped him in a whole barrel of oil. They kept him in a barrel of oil and then poured oil on his head to bring down the vata. There was obviously some vata disturbance, so they're trying to bring down the vata. And in this way, they're trying to do everything to keep his health. But Nimai showed these ecstatic symptoms. This is where after Nimai returned from Gaya, where he had performed Pinda with his father, for his father. Anyway, so of course, as I said, these are the covered pastimes of the Supreme Lord. They are sweet and they are playful and they are showing how Krishna is always playing with the minds of his devotees. There he shows something of his transcendental nature. The same Krishna, but now golden. We also remember an earlier pastime when he was still a very, very small child. It said at that time, Advaita Acharya used to give classes on Srimad Bhagavatam. And Vishwarup, the elder brother, who was still at home and had not yet taken sannyas, was daily going to hear the Bhagavatam lectures of Advaita Acharya. And then Mother Sachi, at one point, Mother Sachi wanted her son Vishwarup to come for lunch. So then she would send little Nimai. It said at that time Nimai, he was dressed like small boys in India are dressed, namely by the air, right? Like no clothes, but only a little cord around the waist with a bell. And his eyes were black with kajal. These black lines around the eyes, because kajal, it's not some type of eyeliner to make the child look beautiful. It's rather their kajal chases away flies. Mm-hmm. Right? So it looks nice, of course, but it is also has a purpose. So in this way, the child was having kajal around the eyes and like the string with the bell, and then he came, all golden, and just during the Bhagavatam lecture. And on this one occasion, Advaita Acharya was just describing, he was describing how Krishna, as a child, as in his Balarup, was just naked, with kajal around his eyes, and just a cord with a little bell. And then this golden boy walks in, everyone's eyes were on little Nimai. And everyone was totally attracted. And Advaita Acharya's description was there, and they were seeing Nimai with the eye. And somehow or other, because of yoga maya, no one could make the connection and say, here is that same Krishna. But emotionally, everyone felt it. Here is that same Krishna. but somehow or other intellect was blocked. So the emotionally went through this whole experience of being stunned and overwhelmed by seeing little Nimai, but they could not intellectually grasp that is the Supreme Lord. So in this way, Nimai had his fun pastimes in his childhood. When Lord Chaitanya manifests his pastimes as a preacher, it is said, Srila Prabhupada says, those are the most important pastimes when Lord Chaitanya begins to show his mercy. And that mercy, of course, it started with him taking sannyas, which was, in a way, a disaster for Navadvip. And he had gone away, he'd left from the house of Srivas, and he was just at the end of the night, he just disappeared, and all the devotees were in great anxiety, and he had gone to Shantipur and went across the river to Katwa. And there, in Katwa, he took sannyas, and it was a big thing. A barber was commissioned to cut his hair. The barber couldn't do it, but he didn't want to do it. He said, no, I will not do it. But somehow his hand started doing it, although he didn't want. And he said, after shaving the head of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that barber never, ever shaved anyone again. He gave up that profession. He became a sweet maker. He could no longer tolerate it. In Katwa, you can still see a samadhi with the hair of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And you can see also just next to it the samadhi of the barber. They waited till he passed on, but then they put his body also there. His ashes. So, what can be said? And everyone felt shocked. Such a handsome young man, such a successful young man, a young man in the bloom of his life who could be so glorious, which mother would not be in ecstasy having such a son? Which father would not be proud having such a son? Which wife would not desire such a husband? And then he was taking sannyas. He who was like granted all the opulences of the world was renouncing them. It was intolerable for people. So this is too much. This is too much. So everyone was depressed, extremely depressed. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received sannyas. And then, at the end of it all, he suddenly burst out in ecstatic Krishna praying. And then Keshava Bharati, who had given him sannyas, Keshava Bharati had said to Nimai, he had said, last night I had a dream that I gave you sannyas. Oh, Nimai said, how was it? And then Keshava Bharati described that I gave you this and this mantra. And he said, is it the right mantra? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, that is the right mantra. In this way, actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu initiated Keshava Bharati first, who then initiated him in the mantra. And Keshava Bharati then, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after receiving sannyas, suddenly he became ecstatic. And he started dancing in the greatest ecstasy, and then the whole mood from depression turned around into ecstasy. In case of a party, also bounced up and down. And then all the people started to dance like anything, like wild. It is said, although Keshava Bharati was a sannyasi in the Sankara Sampradaya, he was actually a Vaishnava. He was a Vaishnava. So the same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also took in that line, because that was the sannyas that was socially respected. But then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went and he traveled. I mean, then they had this kirtan, they had this incredible kirtan after the sannyas. A kirtan like you have never never seen or experienced. No Satkirtan is known now. Now we have only the dim reflection of Satkirtan, dull kirtan. But that kirtan was totally alive and swept up everyone, and that kirtan swelled and went on, and it happened again and again. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would just go around and just burst in these ecstatic kirtan and dance. Goranatha Raj, the king of dancers. No one danced like him, and everyone became swept up. Then we see Lord Chaitanya makes a journey through South India. And slowly we see that in the beginning, after taking sannyas, we see the quantity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasy is just flooding in all directions. And then as he gets into South India, gradually we also begin to understand the quality of that love of God. First, there's a discussion with Venkatabhata. Oh, Venkatabhata, the discussion, it is rainy season, he stays there. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to Venkatabhata, who's of the Sri Sampradaya in Sri Rangam, where they are worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I heard that Lakshmi Devi is the emblem of chastity. She's always serving the lotus feet of Narayan. Ah, yes, yes, Venkatabhata says, yes, that is Lakshmi Devi. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, then may I ask a question? Yes. Says, then how is it that Lakshmi performed austerities to attain Krishna? Thank you, Devanta, the sun looks like a naughty question. He doesn't say like that, but he gives a look like that. And then he says, there is no difference. There is no difference between Krishna and Narayan. They're the same. Say it. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, but then how is it that although Lakshmi Devi performed all these austerities, and although there's no difference between Narayan and Krishna, that she couldn't enter into the pastimes of Krishna? Then Venkatabhata says, the ways of the Lord are inconceivable. But then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that because of Lakshmi being always worshipping the Lord in Aishwarya, in opulence, fully aware of his position as the Supreme Lord, and worshipping him with full awe and reverence, that in Vrindavan that awe and reverence is not there, and that in the relationship with Krishna, the devotees are not aware. They've forgotten that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. So gradually the love is not only quantitatively there, but also begins to qualitatively manifest in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then, at the end of the South Indian tour, Lord Chaitanya comes to Ramananda Rai. And there, with Ramananda Rai, the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness is being discussed. Lord Chaitanya asks the questions. Ramananda Rai explains. And he asks for various duties, and Ramananda replies. He says, "What is the ultimate duty of man?" And it is said, "What is the topmost goal in life?" Yat karus, yat asnas, yat juhus, yat tapas, yat ikonti, yat tapakurusha, madharapanam. Whatever you eat, whatever you do, whatever you austerity you perform, do it all as an offering to me. No. This is external, Lord Chaitanya said. This is external. There is more. Tell me more. So gradually, Ramananda Rai is coming to the love of the residents of Vrindavan. That is the topmost. And then he goes through that, and then gradually he comes to the love of the gopis of Vrindavan is the topmost. Gradually he comes to Srimati Radharani. That love is the topmost. So by then, we have qualitatively fully understood theoretically the nature of love of God. We have seen its jubilant nature. We have seen how it tends to flood in all directions, and we have seen the inner meaning of it, how it's containing the highest quality, the selfless, the total, the selfless dedication of the gopis, who don't care about themselves and who just simply only care about the happiness of Krishna. Then it's Rati Yatra. Then Rati Yatra comes, and Lord Chaitanya is dancing in the greatest ecstasy. Yes, in a mood of separation, but jubilant now, because he's bringing Krishna back. In the mood of Radharani, he's bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. And he's so ecstatic, he can't even say Jagannath anymore. He's saying Jaga, Jaga, Jaga. Who can understand? So in this way, we see in how Lord Chaitanya is gradually revealing Krishna praying to the world in his pastimes, little by little, step by step. And we need both. We need both. We need to have that same unalloyed spirit. This year in the Durban Rati Yatra, we will have interfaith discussions. And I'm also somewhere allocated on some panel, I understand, with representatives of various religions. And one can say that all religions have their common ground, and that all religions have morality in common. Moral codes and moral restrictions, like promiscuous behavior, illicit sex is condemned, and marriage is upheld as a sacred institution in all religious traditions. So this is governing moral life, morality within social life. But then, within every spiritual tradition, there is also another element, which is the higher end of that spiritual tradition, which is love of God. And that love of God must manifest, love manifests in a desire to serve. And that is the emphasis of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Morality is very secondary in his teachings. It's there. It's there. Sinful behavior is to be given up. But his definition, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, gives the definition that anything, whether it is religious or irreligious, if it is not devotional service to Krishna, it's sinful. So what a definition of sin. So it is dealing with the highest dedication and service, 100%. That is the matter. And morality, not good enough. Not good enough. Full dedication, all one's energy, all one's ability, that is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching. And that is the activity of the spiritual world, which has now come down to this earth. Not some religious principle which is regulating sinful activity and bringing a person to be to give up sinful life. All right, give up sinful life. But Srila Prabhupada told us, he said, the four regulative principles is only the beginning. That's where human life begins. That's not the goal. That's where human life begins. Below that, an animal. Below that, one is still an animal. But at the human form, at the four regulative principle begins human life. Otherwise, just an animal. But that's not the aim of Lord Chaitanya's movement. the aim is pure, unalloyed love, devotional service in pure, unalloyed love. As explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, Sarai Punso Paru Dhamam Yatha Bhaktiya Dukshiti Aitikya Bhaktiyata Iyatma Supasiti. The topmost occupation is pure, unalloyed devotional service. Such devotional service should be uninterrupted, unmotivated, and it can fully satisfy the self. And that is exactly what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching. Therefore, we can understand that the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is based on the Bhagavatam. His teachings are the Bhagavatam. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is, in that way, an extension of the Bhagavatam. We see that all the principal evidence that is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is all Bhagavatam. Therefore, the center of Lord Chaitanya's movement is the Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary introduction leading up to the Bhagavatam. It prepares one to get to the Bhagavatam. Then, nectar of devotion, offshoot of the Bhagavatam. Most of the evidence in the nectar of devotion is Bhagavatam. Most of it. Then, to Chaitanya Charitamrita, a further explanation of the Bhagavatam and of the intricacies of the Bhagavatam and applied to the devotee of this day and age. But one thing which is only very shortly mentioned in the Bhagavatam, it is there in that 11th canto, 532, in the verse that I begin with, Krishna Vanam Trisa Krishnam Sangam Bhagasta Parasadam Yakya-saṅkītana-medhiya-yanti-sumedha-sahā. It is there described that Lord Chaitanya will appear in this world and inaugurate the Sankirtan movement, and that intelligent man will take to it. That is mentioned. So Lord Chaitanya's mission is described in the Bhagavatam, but in very short sutra-like form. The Chaitanya Charitamrita gives us an elaborate description. And of course, the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which was written before, contains many pastimes that are not mentioned in the CC because Krishna's Kaviraj fully accepted the Chaitanya Bhagavat as bona fide and didn't want to repeat out of respect for Vrindavan Das Thakur. He said, what shall I say if Vrindavan Das Thakur already spoke, who is the incarnation of Vyasa in Chaitanya Lila? But he also says in the future many more Vyasa will reveal many more things about the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we can, in studying the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can look at these pastimes, but we should understand that we are not just reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we're not just discussing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we are in the Chaitanya Charitamrita right now. Our very lives are part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because the very fact that somehow or other we came into this movement, that is the inconceivable mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is no other explanation. And therefore, these are the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, we are in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Any questions?
Maharaj, the Bhagavad Gita 1878, the last verse, it says, whatever there is, Arjuna, the Supreme Acharya, Krishna, the Supreme Mystic, there is always extraordinary power, opulence, victory, and morality. So, morality is again emphasized. Does it refer to the topmost morality, or it also includes just ordinary dharmic morality?
All the degrees of morality, just like it is said that we are respecting all the Vedic literatures. One of the offenses against the holy name is to blaspheme the Vedic literatures or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. So that means that we respect all the Vedic literatures, although they give all different levels. So some Vedic literatures are Traigunya Visaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhava Arjuna. Some are dealing with the three modes of material nature, and some are beyond the three modes of material nature. The ones that deal with the three modes of material nature are giving people a pious way to satisfy their material desires, which slowly purifies them because they follow some restrictions. Then there are more advanced Vedic literatures which give us the understanding of transcendence, like the Upanishads, where many are establishing, are emphasizing Brahman, right? How Brahman is the true essence and the true aim. Then some confidential Upanishads are establishing that actually Krishna is the goal of life. There are verses that establish Krishna as the goal, even in the four Vedas. Yes. So it's not that Krishna is not mentioned in the Vedas as the ultimate goal. It is mentioned. But one must look for it. So yes, there is lower morality given, then higher morality. And of course the ultimate morality is the pleasure of Krishna. We see that story of Yudhisthira, and who was supposed to speak a lie that Ashwatthama is dead, so that Dronacharya would stop fighting in the Battle of Kurukshetra. So he couldn't do it. No, he can't do it. So okay, we have this elephant who's called Ashwatthama. We just kill the elephant Ashwatthama. So you just have to say, Ashwatthama, the elephant is dead. That's the truth, so you can speak it. Right. So Yudhisthira did it. Yeah. And then just when he was saying elephant, they arranged to blow a whole bunch of conch shells so no one could hear. Yeah. So Krishna's plan. So no one could hear the elephant. So then Dronacharya heard Ashwatthama is dead, and Yudhisthira said it. And Dronacharya knew very well that Yudhisthira doesn't speak untruth. And Yudhisthira had a chariot like the demigods, which didn't touch the ground because he never spoke the truth, but this truth. But then, after that incident, his chariot touched the ground. So, whoa, you know, it's like, was it a lie after all because he knew that it was going to be misused? No. The chariot touched the ground because he had hesitated to execute the order of the Supreme Lord. Not because he spoke a so-called untruth. He had hesitated to follow the order of the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know? So that's the ultimate morality, Krishna. The benefit of Krishna, that's the ultimate reality. So like, although we are truthful, when the soldiers come with the machine guns to the temple or something and say, where are the devotees? Then we go, devotees? There are no devotees here. And they're all under the floorboards, hiding. So devotees, no, oh, those guys, yeah, they used to live here before we moved in. I want shave. That's truthful, because we're protecting the absolute truth. So the ultimate morality means to dedicate one's life in service of the truth. Complex, the ultimate morality. Not to be misused. Generally, we do not speak lies. Generally, we avoid to speak a lie. But if it's in the interest of Krishna, all right, it can be done. But otherwise, generally speaking, we are avoiding to speak lies. And it's very difficult because we didn't grow up like Yudhisthira. So it's very hard not to lie. So we need to ordinarily practice not to lie. But in extreme circumstances, sometimes it may be required for Krishna. Supreme morality. In the same way, killing for Krishna was the right thing to do for Arjuna. Yeah, he did. And Arjuna killed also a few people.
Couple of minutes.
Serial killer. Any other comment or question?
We were discussing this a few weeks ago. Actually, like we said, Lord Chaitanya, he introduced the chant of the holy name. But before that, like the Advaitacharya, they all used to chant. But we know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama. But before that, in the Vedas, you find it. So when was that actually, when did that actually start? No.
When they start to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna first instead of Ram first. It's not that Lord Chaitanya did that. In the Brihadaranyaka Purana, it is clearly mentioned. In the Kalisantarana Upanishad, it says, Iti sodasakam nam nam kali kalvasanasanam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So it said, by these 16 syllables, all the sinful effects of the age of Kali will be destroyed. And then it gives the Maha Mantra, Krishna first, then Ram second. So it's Upanishadic literature is old, Sruti. And so that's not so much an issue. That's why it was inaugurated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No, it is said, not the chanting of Hare Krishna was started by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It doesn't say that. It says the Sankirtan movement was inaugurated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the chanting of Hare Krishna is going on in all yugas. It is always going on. And some may chant Hare Ram first and Krishna after. And some may chant Krishna first and Ram after. In kirtan it doesn't make much difference. You know, it's like, because when you chant Hare Ram, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare. At one point, you know, we just start on the second part. But the essence is that Lord Chaitanya inaugurated the Sankirtan movement. He added special mercy. It is said in the Lagu Bhagavatamrita of Rupa Goswami that in the other Kali Yugas, there's also an incarnation of Vishnu who is dark in complexion, who preaches Harinam. He also gives the holy name. But he does not have that special mercy, that special Shakti that Lord Chaitanya is adding to the whole thing. Therefore, it's not the same. And therefore, in those other yugas, it is difficult to follow that process and the same result is not easily obtained. The name is always the name. It is non different from Krishna. And through the name, one can always fully realize Krishna at any time. But it remains locked for most. But when the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is added, then suddenly that chanting begins to produce very quick results. And that's like, so the inauguration of the Sankirtan movement means the holy name plus the mercy, the combination of the two, that makes it so special now. Elaine, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sri Gopani Mahamahatsa ki jai.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai.